Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning. It's Monday morning, and as the guys at Chabad Ilovo told me repeatedly yesterday, that they sometimes listen to the show on Sunday, so it may be Sunday morning as well. So getting bullied into these things. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here live on 101.9 Chai FM. It's Monday morning. It is a beautiful day in Johannesburg, and we're going to be chatting with Dr. Reza Mir, aesthetics medical practitioner and founder of Anti-Aging Art. We're going to be chatting about all things aesthetics. In my research for the conversation today, I unpacked so much that I was not even aware of. So please let us have your questions for the doc on 0618951019. That's our in-studio WhatsApp number. Now, just to let you know, we are still trying to get hold of the doctor. This is always one of the challenges of doing live radio, particularly with medical professionals who may be called away for an emergency or tied up with a patient and are unable to come on the show. So Craig, our main man on the buttons, is doing his absolute best to get the guest onto the air for us. And as soon as we do, we will then bring the guest on. But in the meantime, we're just going to play another song. But before that, let us have your questions. We're going to be talking understanding aesthetics medicine. You know, what is anti-aging? What is anti-aging medicine? What are the products? What are the procedures? Who's it for? And what's the risk? So stay with us, please. Let us have your questions. And we'll go to a song now. And then we will work on getting the guest back.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. Thank you for your patience, guys, and we're very happy to welcome Dr. Reza Mir, aesthetics medical practitioner and founder of Anti-Aging Art, to the show. Doc, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
It's always good to have you, and a lot to chat about aesthetics. In my research for today's chat, I was uncovering so much, not only about aesthetics, but about you. There's not only a medical background, there's quite a bit else to talk about. So before we kick it off, Doc, can you give us a little bit about your backgrounds?
You know, I studied medicine, but I've always been interested in diversified things. And so after med school, after internship in comm service, I studied an MBA and a finance master's, and I invented an aeroplane that takes off vertically in 2012, before drones existed. And we're still actually working on that project. It's a long one because it costs a lot of money. But if you take time and you research and learn and investigate, you can actually do it for a lot less money. And so that's kind of the approach that we've been taking. And that's called Pegasus. It was in a movie, actually, The Lost City. And my day job, though, is focusing on aesthetic and regenerative medical treatments for our patients.
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's such a cool mix. Finance, aeronautical engineering, and then medicine and aesthetics. So just to kick it off as well, then, let's talk about aesthetics medicine. What is that for the listener who may not know or be aware of what aesthetics is?
It's a relatively new division of medicine that combines things minimally invasive and slightly invasive and non-invasive treatments, things like chemical peels, botulinum toxin, dermal fillers, and recently we've been using more of the regenerative medical treatments such as the platelet-rich fibrin and platelet-rich fibrin filler, which is actually filler that's derived from the patient's own blood.
So there's minimum chance of rejection and these type of things.
It's just a more natural approach. Right.
Okay, fantastic. What was it that made you want to go down the route of aesthetics? Within medicine, when you're studying, there's so many opportunities, so many different fields one can go into. I think just having spoken to you and having read a little bit about your background, I may understand why, but what was the reason you picked aesthetics?
You know, when I was in med school, aesthetics didn't even exist. And when I was working at Baragwanath, I noticed that people were dying because of a lack of resources and because there wasn't enough, certain medications and machines. And so that's actually what made me want to study an MBA, because I thought if I wanted to help people, the best way to do it would be to work in the management setting of a hospital or that hospital. But
Right.
slowly, I realized that it wasn't all together. How do I put this gently? It wasn't accidental, the problems that were happening there. And so
Yes.
I actually pretty much left medicine, and I was working with my dad in property and other various businesses. And we brought Dr. Robert Ray from, I don't know if you remember Dr. 90210.
Yes.
We brought his products here and then him in turn to promote those products. And one of them had a cream called Inhibitox, and it was meant to be a botulinum toxin-like cream. Funny enough, it worked where the skin was thin, but obviously not where the skin was thicker. And people kept saying to me, "But you're a doctor, can't you actually just do the injections? Can't you do the fillers?" And after the 10th person said this to me, I thought, you know what? I'm being guided here. Let me go and do the course. And I did it and started injecting very part-time. And it kind of grew organically from there. And so I still think it was a very much a divine guidance there.
Oh, phenomenal. Doc, we're going to go to ad break. And then when we're back from that, I want to chat to you about your business, what you do, and also your statement of art meets science. Let's go to ads and we will then be back with Dr. Oh, excuse me, guys, Reza Mir.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting with Dr. Reza Mir, aesthetic medical practitioner and founder of Anti-Aging Art. And on that point, Doc, tell us about art meets science.
You know, when I started aesthetic medicine, I quickly realized that there was a lot of good science in the product, how it worked, how it interacted with the patients, but also in the safety of it. That's where the big science comes in. I wrote a paper earlier this year, or was it late last year, about how to treat and prevent filler-induced blindness. And these preventative steps make it very easy to avoid these problems. But in saying that, I realized that there wasn't enough, the science wasn't enough to explain why some patients would look good and some patients wouldn't, or some people are able to bring out a good result on a patient and, with the exact same product, other people could not. And so that's when I realized that it is a big part of this is art. And so aesthetic medicine is basically art meets science. And when people say, "What is the link between your aviation business and, the design work?" It's all the same. It's art meets science. It's to take the actual hard sciences and to bring them together in a way that'll give you a beautiful, natural result that is attractive to everyone who looks at it. And that's kind of the basis of art meets science.
So in terms of the art aspect of that, do you feel just with your experience within medicine that sort of certain doctors are best suited for certain fields of medicine? Perhaps with surgeons or pediatrics or these type of things where you do need an artist's eye to really get the most for your patient in the field of aesthetics.
I think naturally everybody has aptitudes for different things. But if there is something that you really like, if someone says, "I actually love the idea of aesthetic medicine," then this artistic side of your brain can be developed. It's not to say that you're born one way and you stay that way till you die. As with anything, you can train your brain to appreciate beauty, to understand what attractiveness is, but it means going to art galleries, sculpting, building, appreciating art in all its forms, including music and not necessarily just visual art. And that side of your brain then develops in the background while you're working and you're practicing. And the more you work with it, the more you understand that, you know, if you step back and look at a face, if you can't tell what pretty is, then you can't make people pretty.
But also then, how do you balance the what is pretty for perhaps one demographic may not be so pretty for another demographic? You know, remember in the 1800s, they were covering table legs because ankles were the rage. And they felt that, you know, men might be lose their focus by looking at a table leg. How do you balance the different aesthetics for different sort of population groups and demographics and cultures?
So within each group, there are certain variations around the world, and we take that into account when we're working with each patient and we ask them what their goals and desires are. And so it is about blending with the patient's desires, but at the same time, there are certain universally attractive traits. So the two most important ones are a healthy head of hair and a good even skin tone. So these are signals, and they're reproductive signals, basically. Mm-hmm. And so they impact very deep in the psychological side of a patient's head or of a person's head. And these are all, these studies we're talking about now come from a book called Survival of the Prettiest, which reviews, you know, thousands of studies done at universities around the world. And so what they find is that around the world, you would find that those are attractive traits. And so funny enough, that is kind of what we focus on as well, is to get patients to be happy, healthy, and attractive looking, but natural. We do not and have never actually done the overinflated face or the giant lips. We rather work on all of the different layers of tissue, on the hair, because you can't fake it. You know, you can't wake up one day and have a full head of hair. It does signal long-term healthiness, and that's why we psychologically appreciate that.
Yes. Well, that is unless, of course, you're flying back on Turkish hairlines.
Yes. And,
there's enough memes out there about that with the cap teeth, the hair, and the chemical peel. You know, everyone arriving back home and not being recognized. Absolutely. So that ties into a little bit of your philosophy on timeless elegance. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, please?
You know, if you've ever been, and if you haven't, you should come and see. The house that we work from is an old classic style mansion, basically. And, you know, if you were to look at this building 100 years ago, it would have been beautiful. And in 100 years from now, it will still be beautiful. And that's the concept of timeless elegance. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't do things like the fox eyes or the Russian lip or the whatever fad is coming and going. I don't believe that fashion has a place in aesthetic medicine. We rather take each individual patient, figure out what it is that is most attractive about them and enhance those features and treat the things that give them insecurities. But at the same time, you know, whether you look at them today or in 10 years or 10 years ago, it's the psychological side of the brain that will look at them and feel attraction towards them. And that's kind of the goal. It's not to kind of stick to fashion. What we do to patients is say, if you really want the fox eyes, use makeup to achieve that. But it's very easy to do all of these things. And, you know, it doesn't matter even what clothes you wear. If you have a healthy, fit body and your face is pretty, you can wear anything and people will think it looks great.
Absolutely. So is it more along the lines of if someone looks at a person, they should be thinking, wow, they've got good genetics. Their parents must be good looking as well, rather than, oh, they've had work done.
Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head there. It should be, you look at them and you just think, or you know, it's not even a think, it's a feel. You look at them and you feel this like, ooh, nice. You shouldn't even think about them. Have they done something? Have they not? That's when it's successfully done. It should be invisible.
So I suppose for your practice and practice growth, you can be your own worst enemy, where the work can be so good that people don't realize work has been done, and then they don't go up to them and say, oh, wow, you look amazing. Who did your work?
Well, you know, patients will always have somebody that they trust enough to share and that they're excited about, and they'll say, oh, guess what, Susie? I went to this doctor, whatever. You know, everybody's got a best friend or two that they'll share with.
100%. What are some of the most in-demand treatments that you're dealing with in your clinic?
So the main ones right now are toxin because we use that to stop the downforce muscle in people's faces and prevent them from sagging. So turkey necks, jowls, and frown muscles. That's the basis of maintaining a face and stopping it from sagging. Then obviously, small amounts of dermal fillers, we use that to sculpt little areas on the face. And then more and more, which is becoming a lot more popular, is the use of the platelet-rich fibrin-derived fillers, because we can use that on the face when we need more volume, but also we can use that in the breasts, and that gives us nice stimulation because it acts as a reservoir for those platelets to release growth factors into the tissue. And so it's almost an alternative to surgical enhancements, but obviously without having to have to go under the knife. And so when patients feel like that's what they want, we've been doing a lot of that. I'll share with you where you can learn more about that. But why we also like that sometimes in the face is some people have been turned off dermal fillers that are made of hyaluronic acid, which we still use, of course, and we will always use. But they sometimes patients, obviously everybody fits onto that normal distribution graph. You know, some people have a great result, some people don't, and most people have a good result. But sometimes in that graph, you find that the filler can last longer than it's supposed to and doesn't dissolve like it's supposed to.
Right.
And so this has scared people a little against hyaluronic acid. And so we're finding more demand for the natural fillers, which are then made from patients' blood.
Sure. Phenomenal. When you're treating, you know, South Africa, we're very fortunate. We've got diverse cultures, diverse communities, and sort of different skin types are perhaps aging in different ways. Some are wrinkling more than others. Pigmentation changes may be prevalent in other types. How do you deal with the different demographics within South Africa in terms of best advice? Is it that, you know, you're dealing with an individual based on what they need, but also, again, within your advice? Because the follow-on question from this would be, how do you deal with patients that may want stuff that's not good for them?
So we start with the basic, easy test of looking at the patient, seeing what we see, then listening to what they say and seeing if that aligns. And that, obviously, we can then get a reasonable understanding of whether the patient is asking for something that is reasonable or not. And we'll obviously advise our patients and say, this is a better route to go, don't do that. And sometimes it just takes the question of, did you come here because you want to look pretty? And if they say yes, I say, well, then let me make you look pretty. Let's not do whatever you heard about that will make you look funny. Because to me, every patient is a walking billboard. And if I make you look funny, then everybody will see it and everybody will ask. It's like you said, you know, when you do great work, not everybody will notice it and not everyone will ask the question about who did this. But when it's bad, everybody can see it and everybody will ask. And so it's definitely, we will, for the good of everybody, we don't allow our patients to go overboard. But when it comes to different demographics and how they age, you know, there are some general principles, but everybody's got unique DNA. I mean, I remember when we were in med school, there were girls who were 20. If they went into the sun too much and they were blonde and had blue eyes and light skin, they would already have crow's feet forming. And it's just because of the sun damage. So we deal with whatever we see in each individual patient. And I sometimes used to say, it started off as a marketing story where I said, each individual patient is a unique masterpiece. But within a couple of weeks of thinking about that, I realized, you know what, this is not just a story. That's actually the fact. That's what we must be good at, is realizing what makes this patient them and then figuring out how to work about their unique problems.
Are you seeing a move with patients and, you know, thinking back to where we were touching on managing patients' expectations as well as the amount of treatment, think back to the late Joan Rivers, who, you know, passed away during another plastic surgery procedure. Are we seeing people moving away from plastic surgery and more to aesthetics because it's perceived to be safer, less invasive?
Yes, for sure. I think that naturally, if you are able to deal with things like we spoke about, the sagging face, if you maintain that botulinum toxin in the lower face and you don't allow that skin to stretch or descend, then you won't ever feel like I need a lower facelift. So definitely there should be a reduction in the proportion of people that would choose surgery versus non-surgery. But again, with the rise of popularity of social media, I'm sure we could Google these facts and get the real answer. But I would expect that people would still be doing a lot of surgery, or even more than in the past, because it's becoming more socially acceptable, both surgical and non-surgical aesthetics.
So if we chat about, and obviously, you know, it's difficult for me, Doc, because I did civil engineering then ended up opening up a gym after spending 15 years in financial services. So a little bit of a diverse background as well. But, you know, I think once an engineer, always an engineer. And as much you are a doctor, but I feel like I'm speaking to an engineer. So I'm getting excited about this question.
At heart, yeah.
Absolutely. What are the current, and I suppose there's an aspect of engineering. I mean, it says aesthetics engineering. For you, what excites you about the current advancements in aesthetics, you know, biostimulants, the new devices that are coming out, and then also regenerative techniques? What are the things that are exciting you about the future?
So this excited me so much that I actually went and did a course and became an American Board of Regenerative Medicine. I guess they call it a diplomat. Mm-hmm. But this involves stem cells and platelets and how we use them to create desired effects. Now, the laws in South Africa don't allow yet for umbilical cord cells to be used for treatment, but that's what we're working on right now, is how do we get these laws to change so that we can actually move forward and start treating people with stem cells and that type of thing. So for now, we still have the platelets and we still have fat grafting, which is using people's own stem cells. But you know, stem cells that are day zero, umbilical cord blood stem cells, are a lot more powerful than anybody else's. You know, as you go in years, your stem cells become less and less effective. So that's where I think the frontiers are. But for us as well, you know, we have a machine, for example, called a MiraDry, that we can treat underarm sweating with, and it will change it permanently. So sure. Most of the time, it's at least an 80% reduction, but sometimes more. And it's these kinds of new advancements that really catch our attention, because when I started aesthetics, I said, I will only do it if I could always be at the forefront, and I could always be pushing those boundaries within the limits of safety and ethics, but I would always want to be at the forefront. And I will stay in aesthetics as long as that is a reality.
Right. With the evolution of aesthetics and sort of the new areas that are opening up, regenerative medicine within aesthetics is quite a new thing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is regenerative medicine, and really who's it for?
So that's pretty much for everybody. And we are already using it. When I spoke about the stem cells,
yes,
that's for the future. But for now, the platelet-rich fibrin, which is a new way of using platelets. I'll explain the difference between the old platelet-rich plasma and this one. And then also deriving fillers, but I'll give you some of the applications as well. So what happens is, platelet-rich plasma was a treatment where we drew patients' blood, we injected activated platelet-rich plasma back into the skin, and they released all of their growth factors, kind of like a bomb going off in the skin. Mm-hmm. So the target tissue could absorb some of what we've injected. So whether that was face or hair or breast or penises, wherever it was we were injecting, most of the product didn't actually go into the tissue, but we did get good results.
Right.
So the advent of platelets.
Doc, sorry to interrupt you there.
I'm getting
a sign from Craig. We're going to go to an ad break, and when we come back, we'll continue on this, please. Absolutely fascinating.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fantastic. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Disc and Medical Monday show. We're chatting with Dr. Reza Mir, speaking all things aesthetics. Let us have your questions for the doctor on 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dis-Chem Medical Monday show, here on 101.9 Chai FM. We're having an absolutely fascinating conversation with Dr. Reza Mir, and I'm working really, really hard trying not to nerd out too much and get too technical. So, Doc, you being a great guest, I think you're roping me in potentially a little bit. So appreciative of that. Just before we went to the ad break, we were talking about regenerative medicine, the different the different types of platelets and its effectiveness. If we could continue with that, please, Doc.
With pleasure. So, platelet-rich plasma was the quick one. Platelet-rich fibrin then is not activated, but the fibrin we keep in the blood forms a little meshwork under the skin, traps the platelets, and those platelets then release their growth factors over a long period of time, more like a little fire. And so we get a lot more uptake from the target tissue. And according to the patients, you know, we've just been doing some rough polling with them, but a lot of them have been saying things like, well, it works four times as well. And so I think if you look up our YouTube little show that we made to give people insight into all of these treatments, it's called Art Meets Science TV. And we had an episode, I think it was episode 4, if I'm not mistaken, where we had a patient who was actually a professor at a university speaking about the effect that this had on the P-shots that we were doing for him. But also there was a girl up there who was speaking about her breast changes and how much she likes it and that type of thing. So there's good information up there. But what we can also use platelet-rich fibrin for, and by preparing it in different thicknesses, we can use it to treat acne, acne scarring, hair loss and hair loss prevention. Pretty much head to toe, there's something, stretch marks, skin laxity. There's so many things that we can use these treatments for. And what's exciting is that it's coming from the patient's own blood and own body. So we do have also some patients who have religious reservations about using foreign substances, whether it's the botulinum toxin or the fillers. And so this gives them something that they can use, which is, I guess, more acceptable for their philosophical beliefs.
Right, 100%. With regards to sort of using our own cells or now cells from umbilical cords, what are your views in terms of the ethics around this? I'd like you to get your opinion on this because, you know, are you saying, well, it's human, it's from another human being, or it's not really human, it's a connection between the mother and the child, and it is very effective. What are your thoughts, Doc?
Now, when it comes to stem cells, that is far superior to get, like we say, day zero cells. Now, traditionally, that part of the birthing process ends up in the bin and it gets incinerated. So what we're doing is that people have been donating. Sometimes people bank their own umbilical cords and umbilical cord blood. But there's a stem cell bank that we're working with now. And what they do is they expand those cells, which means that they multiply them to about 8 times the volume of what they have been given from those donor cells. And obviously, the people who donate these are made aware of the purpose of where these cells are going to go. And from there, that's where the exciting research can start happening as far as directing the cells to different tissues. So for example, if you expose a stem cell to dexamethasone, it can drive itself into forming a bone cell, for example. And then you can make a 3D printed scaffolding for somebody who's had a shattered bone and implant it and seed it with the stem cells and you can make a bone. Now, that's obviously in time to come, but what we're very excited about is creating various little organ tissue systems and eventually having organs that you can, you know, buy off a shelf and implant into people. And then you won't need to wait for people to die before you can do organ transplants. So that's the long-term vision behind the stem cells. And what's exciting is that stem cells are agnostic, which means, you know, it's proof that we're all related, is that a stem cell doesn't have surface markers and you can give it to anybody. So you don't get the problems of, again, rejection or, you know, host to graft issues, that kind of thing. But that's obviously long-term work and studies that have to happen. But that's why stem cells are so exciting. So it's not like giving a blood transfusion. It's more like actually giving a platelet transfusion. You know, you can take platelets for anybody as long as you screen it for infectious diseases. And so stem cells are more like platelets than red blood cells.
Right. And Doc, that's such a great answer. Thank you for that. But you also beat me to the 3D printed organ question, which I was also was saving towards the end because I'm quite excited to hear about this, and also with your engineering background as well, what you have planned. But what I wanted to touch on, you know, I think if we look at sort of the last 30 years, perhaps starting in the 80s, physical health, well-being, Jane Fonda workout videos, then through to the Nautilus gyms, through to CrossFit, big box gyms. People are far more focused on taking care of themselves. And the generation that, like, I'm in my 50s, I grew up in the 80s with, you know, looking at Arnold and these guys on the big screen and wanting to be big and strong. And you're able to look after your body physically and keep, you know, good physical shape, but your face does take a hammering. And I wanted to touch on the point of mental health. In your practice, in your experience, what have the mental and even to some extent the spiritual benefits for people been for your patients post-treatment? And because I think it's not about being, sort of arrogant or vain. Sometimes a lot of our self-worth is tied to our external appearance, based on how we were raised, based on how we were brought up, particularly sort of Gen X and older generations. How big an aspect have you seen with your patients in terms of mental health improvement, improved self-love, improved self-worth from these treatments?
You know, this is a very interesting question, and it's so big because, you know, this is not something that, like you say, it's not only now. It's always been. Since the time of cavemen, the first earliest use of makeup was women in caves were using ochre, making red paste and putting it on their lips. And they found evidence of this in the caves. And obviously there's a reason for that. And we've kind of just become a species that appreciates beauty. I mean, as all species do, but it's out of our hands and it's not voluntary. We don't have a choice in how we respond to somebody who's good looking. And so in that book I spoke about earlier, there were so many nice studies, and sometimes it sounds controversial when it comes out of my mouth, but I'm always happy to say it because I know it's backed up by actual scientific research. And what they speak about in this book is, well, I'll come to that. Let me tell you about, first, botulinum toxin injected anywhere in your body enhances mood through an unknown mechanism. So that makes people feel good. Second is the mirror effect. If you take away the frown, if you take away the sad look, if you take away the tired look, people look in the mirror, their brain says, your brain recognizes your reflection. And it says, look, I'm not tired, I'm not angry, I'm not sad. And you then don't feel tired, angry, or sad. So that's a very good feedback mechanism for feeling good about yourself. But it's not just about what happens inside you, because the world treats you differently. So what they showed, and this is what I was found in the book, is that attractive people, whatever the definition is in that environment, the attractive people will earn more money. Yes. And I want you to guess how much, what level of, guess how much more.
So I've read some research on this in terms of good-looking people in interviews versus less attractive people, where they both had the exact same CVs and who got the job. So I'm going to answer that when we come back from ad break, and it'll give me a minute or two to think about it. So do stay with us, and we're going to go to ads. We're chatting with Dr. Reza Mir, putting me on the spot about guessing how much more attractive people will be earning. And we'll come back to you right after this. Do let us have your questions for the doc on 061-895-1019 here on 101.9 High FM.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
We're chatting with Dr. Reza Mir, aesthetics medical practitioner and founder of Anti-Aging Art. Doc, we're running out of time a little bit, so I do want to wrap up. I'm going to say probably 80% more than people who are perceived to be less attractive. How wrong am I?
Wow, that's a lot. I don't know if that's true, but this is what the research showed. It's the same as having an additional master's degree.
Sure,
so if you had a master's, it's like having two master's. If you had none, it's having a master's. So there's a lot of value in that. And it's because you are able to get better attention, better sales, better things, because people are more receptive to the things that you tell them.
And then also the way that you're interacting with them, because you're being perceived to be treated better, or you are being treated better. I mean, we are physical creatures, we're visual creatures, and we see, and this is sort of how we base our perception of people. Just very, very quickly, Doc, just before we wrap up, we've got about 2 minutes left. For our listeners, what is done in terms of keeping patients safe, particularly with perhaps the partial or partially invasive or invasive procedures, the injectables and so on? Let's talk about that. And then what would you like to see happening for the future of aesthetics medicine in South Africa and around the world?
Well, when it comes to safety, we are non-negotiable in following the science and the protocols and the research, and we make sure that we reduce our risks to as close to zero as possible. And we also, you know, make it clear to patients that the risk is never actually zero, but we can do whatever we can. And so that was the paper I wrote, which was advising doctors on how to inject, you know, limiting their volume, the pressure, the sites, the type of needle that you use. And, you know, all of these come together to minimize our risk. And so what I'd like to see happening in the future is for, you know, the illegal injectors, the people who have come into the country who have, you know, no medical license, who are possibly not even doctors, injecting people at a, you know, they, who knows what they're injecting, because you can't buy the actual real products from the companies unless you have a medical practice number.
Yes.
So we've seen a rise in side effects and damage and unsightly results because people are just picking up injections and shoving it into people's faces, not understanding that you can actually die if you get this injected in the wrong place. And so that's what I want to see, is more regulation. And I've actually been elected to the AAMSSA, it's the Aesthetics Association of South Africa. And my main role here is, what I'd like to do there is to focus on driving attention and getting people to, you know, get the police also to take these things seriously, because it's basically common assault.
Yes, 100%. You know, the more regulation, the safer people feel, and the more people will have access to the treatment. Doc, just before we wrap up, two quick questions. Well, a question and a comment from two different listeners. I broke my neck with damage to the spinal cord. What could be done for that? And that was from a listener, Mark. I'm assuming with regards to platelets and or stem cells.
So that's where the stem cells come in. And I actually referred, I was speaking to a patient earlier this month. There are doctors in different countries who are working and specializing on, for example, that specific aspect of stem cells. You remember Superman, Christopher Reeve?
Yes, Christopher
fell
Reeve
off a horse and broke his back. And he was mainly promoting and funding stem cell research into that cause. But the reality is there are people already using it right now to do that. So again, we can't do it in this country yet, but I can put them in touch with people around the world who can help.
So we'll get our production team to put your details on the podcast and on the website, if that's okay, and then Mark can get in touch.
Yes, with pleasure.
Great. Doc, thank you so much for joining us. As we wrap up, and I'm going to do my outro, not to embarrass you, but this is a fun one, from Anonymous. The question is the doc as cute as his voice? So there you go, doctor.
I mean, if you look on our Instagram, the answer is there. It's Dr. Reza underscore Mia.
There you go. Go Anonymous, go and check it out on Instagram and you'll get the answer for yourself. Dr. Reza Mia, thank you so much for joining us today on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. Absolutely fantastic to chat with
thank
you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for everything that you shared. Thank you to our wonderful listeners for joining us today on Monday or on Sunday when it's the replay. And thank you to Craig for pushing the buttons, Sina for getting our fantastic guests for us. Thank you for joining us, and I will chat with you next week.